If you're like the millions of frustrated Americans looking for an alternative to the other senior benefits group and want to support an organization that takes responsible action, then now is the time to join AMAC.
AMAC, or the Association of Mature American Citizens, is the fastest growing conservative senior organization in America. AMAC believes in the values that have made America great: faith, family, and freedom.
AMAC offers an alternative to just about every benefit that AARP offers, but without the liberal agenda.
AMAC stands up for the Constitution, and they fight with a full-time presence in Washington, D.C., calling on members of Congress and the administration to discuss issues and support or oppose legislative actions on behalf of the membership. Issues like health care reform, Social Security, reducing prescription drug costs, and more.
We stand with AMAC, and we hope you will, too. Stand with us today and join at amac.us/chicks. That's amac.us/chicks. The benefits of membership are great, but the cause is even greater. Join today at amac.us/chicks. Okay, we have to talk about Nancy Pelosi really fast. Not Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton. Nancy Pelosi. Because
just when you think Hillary Clinton will go away,
she's like, will not.
I'm back!
She cannot stop. She is the one. It's not even like someone heard her podcast with Nancy Pelosi and like grabbed a clip of it and started sharing it on the sly. She posted it. Okay. And here, you got to hear it because it's insane.
We learned a lot about our system of government over the last 4 years with a president who disdains democracy and, as you have said numerous times, has other agendas. What they all are, I don't think we yet know. I hope historically we will find out who he's beholden to, who pulls his strings. I would love to see his phone records to see whether he was talking to Putin the day that the insurgents invaded our Capitol.
I mean, he was on the phone with Putin arranging for that Capitol insurrection.
Right.
That's what they
think. These people were so well prepared, too, with the zip ties. I mean, they just were so well prepared. I'm sure that was Putin-level, like, preparedness
Putin
right there.
Putin is who told that one guy to wear the horns.
Right. That was definitely Putin.
Yeah.
Definitely
he was like,
Putin.
Listen, I've worn this outfit when I've ridden tigers before.
Hillary is so intellectual.
You should try it.
She's so freaking intellectual. You know, it's funny to me how they're still, like, after gajillions of dollars that we've wasted on Russia investigations, and she wants more freaking investigations when she's not even in government anymore. She's just has a podcast. I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like our podcast it's got to be doing better than hers, right? But it's definitely more fun. But I mean, like, they've wasted all this money on Russia investigations. And then right in front of their faces, they can't see it. But, I mean, we can see it, but they can't see it. China is the biggest threat. It's China. And maybe they can't see it because they're, like, having sex with China right now. Like, all these people are
and
just
it's hot
like,
and heavy, man.
Oh, yeah, it's hot. They're doing the hibbity-jibbity. They're like, China, These people love China. They love it. The Bidens, the Clintons, the Pelosis, all these people are just like doing it with China right now. And
there's
do
no
everything.
Investigation.
There isn't. There's no, they don't care. It's like, meanwhile, New York Post just put out a thing today about how, you know, people were like, oh, it's a conspiracy theory that, you know, coronavirus came out of a lab. And now they're like, oh, maybe
oh,
it actually
looks like it may have,
looks like it may have actually come out of a lab. Oh, shit.
Our bad.
Oh, crap. And so, like, this is the thing. Nobody cares. The media won't repeat. They won't report on that. Nobody seems to care because they're always like, Russia, Russia, Russia. Russia is Jan Brady compared to, like, how much of a threat China is, right? I mean, China is infiltrating. China is taking over the Bay Area. I saw this thing about how they are coming into the Bay Area, and politically they are getting all of our secrets. This is what they're doing. This is why Nancy Pelosi is beholden to them. This is why that one dude, fart boy, what's his name, Swalwell. Nobody even cares that guy, like, there was
he keeps getting assigned to committees.
Like, security ones. It's unreal how people just don't, it's unreal. how
but this is what Democrats are going to continue to focus on is right. Trump and Putin, like, for months, forever yeah. more. And
while
and
China
Trump is like leaving literally tomorrow.
Yeah, while China like basically steals all of our shit. It's unreal.
But seriously, like the Hillary thing, the way that she was talking with Pelosi, like, you know, we really need to look at his phone. You guys, just stop. Like, if Trump is all you have to focus on in the first part of this new administration,
right.
What even is wrong with you? What are you doing?
Deflect.
Oh, my God.
From basically all the things that we said we were going to do and that we can do, because, I mean, they can't be positive about anything, right, that they are going to do. And then also about the fact that China's the real threat. I mean, it's like, because they love them so much. I mean, they're all total, like, celebrities are in bed with them. Think about Hollywood being in bed with them. We went through that whole thing. What I remember you and I talking about, what, a year and a half, 2 years ago, about how the NBA is like totally in bed with China.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're all beholden to China. So they're never going to speak poorly about China. Why would they do that? Because they're all basically having relations of a sexual nature with China. Right now.
So
right
much
now.
Hibbity jibbity.
So much. Right now. So
I
gross.
I mean, I couldn't believe what I was hearing because I heard that on the radio on the way into work, that Hillary clip, and I was like, you can't be serious.
It's
like,
mental.
It's still happening.
It's so completely mental. It's like, what? How many more investigations do you need, you old bat?
Just God.
It's unreal.
It's amazing.
Unreal. God. You know what you need to investigate? Your husband's sex life. On Epstein's Island. Maybe investigate that for a little bit, because we haven't seen enough of that. You know, that whole story went away 26 times on the Lolita Express. I don't know. I'd like to know a little bit more about that.
Seems
How about
a little
you?
Sketch. Seems a little bit sketch. A
little bit.
I did not expect to see anything in the news yesterday about an exploding vagina candle, and yet here we are.
Welcome to our show, everybody.
Because one of Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina candles exploded in someone's house.
Are you serious?
It was in the UK. And I saw the headline and I was like...
Was it Stewart's house?
Stewart!
Stewart!
Was it yours?
Was it you and the vag candle?
But apparently it literally exploded and then burst into flames, and there were like candle bits flying everywhere. It was bad.
That sounds terrible.
There was an inferno in the room, according to sources.
Oh my God, are they going to sue Goop? What are they going to do?
God, I hope so. That would be hilarious.
Wouldn't it be great? I know, finally. Somebody sue her for something. I mean, my God, she's been telling women to put like stones up their hoo-has for years.
Now, to the person's credit who had the vagina candle, because at first I was like, listen, you buy a vagina candle,
right?
You kind of get what you get. You know what I mean?
I know.
But it turns out this was a prize that was won in some sort of an email contest or something like that.
Okay.
So it was just in the house, and they probably were like, I'll
like
just
in
light
a swag. It.
It
was like in a swag bag.
Right.
Okay, I see. I mean, how else are you going to get one of those? I ask you.
Well, I mean, you're not going to buy it.
Why would you do that?
That would be crazy town.
Right. Shelly, I'm coming to Texas. I'll be moving there in 5 months. I'm going to be by myself, though. I can't convince Mock to go there.
No, she's, I don't
she wants,
wanna.
She doesn't want
ocean.
She's not a ranch person. She's more of a beach person. So,
yeah. And I know that there is some beach in Texas, but
right. It's not the kind of beach she likes.
It's just not the kind of beach I like.
No.
So someday, far, far away, I'll be in South Carolina, and she'll be in Texas, and then we'll have really awesome places to visit.
We'll visit each other. Right.
Yeah.
This is the plan. This is how we're going to do. Right.
You had things.
I did. I wanted to mention that that Melania, my nose is running again because it's 12 degrees in here. Sorry.
You need to start wearing a jacket.
Every day. I need to start wearing a parka or get a heater down here, you guys.
In your own basement.
Okay, so Melania Trump gave her last, like, her farewell address. And I got to just, we have to just point that out because she is just all class. And she has never been given the respect that she deserves. And it just pisses me off. I saw that last night and I was like, you know, For a party that claims to be pro-women, they have treated her like utter, not even garbage. It's lower than garbage. That's how they've treated her. It's despicable how they've treated our First Lady. I mean, seriously, despicable.
Awful. She radiates elegance.
Right.
It just oozes out of her.
I mean, we've said some stuff about, not Melania, but about, what's her name? Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama. We used to make fun of, like, her boob belts and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we've said some stuff. We've been kind of snarky about her. But we've also been kind about when it was due. We were kind about her, too. And we gave her the respect that she deserved as a FLOTUS. And I look at the way that Melania has been treated, and I just shake my head, and I think, wow, it's like a whole new level of disrespect. And
it's not snark. It's just pure cruelty.
Oh, it
is.
You
know what I mean?
Precisely. And
it's totally different.
Wow, it's just gross. So gross.
I know. I just...
Oh God, so there's that.
I just feel so bad for her, because she was never treated well.
She didn't deserve a bit of that. She didn't deserve a bit of it. And I just shame on those people who treated her like garbage, below garbage, because she didn't deserve it. Anyway, so I just wanted to point that out.
We are going to be recording our weekly dive later today, and it's going to be all about this guy that's pretending to be the walkaway, Brandon Strzok, who released a similar video that's about walking away from, I guess, the Trump cult, in essence. And it is so insane, the things that this guy says, that we're going to be talking about that in context of all of these different people saying that Republicans or conservatives or Trump supporters need to be re-educated, deprogrammed.
Right.
Unradicalized, whatever adjective they're throwing out today. There's so many people that are saying this, Katie Couric being the most recent example, saying that she told Bill Maher that we need to be deprogrammed. And so it's starting to be a thing. That's a scary road to travel down. Because when you start grouping a whole, a huge swath of the population in those terms, then you start talking about, well, re-educating them how? In camps?
Well, see, this is the thing. I mean, it's like, I won't even, mix words about it. It sounds like you're a freaking Nazi.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, that's what you sound like. I mean, this is the thing, is like, they have been throwing that word out for years, and I hate that word. But when you start saying deprogram and reprogram, and these people need to, I need the guy from PBS who said, we need to take these kids, they're the kids of these people, and reprogram them. You get your grubby hands off my kid.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you talk about that. That's the bristle on my back goes up, because that sounds so, it's insanity what they're saying. It's insanity.
Yeah.
We've never heard language like this before, ever, in America. And so it should give people more than pause. It should terrify people. That's what is even coming out of these people's mouths?
It's amazing.
We voted for a guy based on policy. That's why we voted for him. Now, granted, there are some people who looked at the guy and probably thought, oh my God, he's the bee's knees and I love him, and they followed him for him. Well, the same could be said about Obama.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, there was such a messiah complex with Obama.
I mean, there are kids in school chanting Obama.
Yeah.
You remember that bullcrap that we used to make fun of? I mean, so we could say the very same about that, but we never once said, oh my gosh, these kids need to be reprogrammed.
Right.
I mean, it's
we said they had terrible parents.
Right.
It's a dangerous road that we're on.
It's crazy. It's like, and the people are piling on, and it's gross what's happening in our country right now.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, this is why we have elections, okay? We have elections. They should be fair and honest elections where people just decide, this is who I want as president.
Mm-hmm.
We do that based on, I thought we did it, based on policy. At least that's why you and I vote for a guy. And I know that's why everybody that I know and love vote for people, is they do it based on policy, because we know and we're educated enough to know that it's not just one guy, right? There's a president, and then you have the state level and the local level governments, and you vote based on policies that are going to affect you as a human being. And we're going to see the ramifications of that over the next 4 years, policies. people are going to see it because he's going to, you know, Biden and crew and all the Democrats who are now in power, we're going to start seeing policies that are going to be put into place where, you know, we're going to see the consequences of those policies.
Well, and it, you know, I guess I don't want to say that Katie Couric has a point because she doesn't. And actually, I was glad to hear Bill Maher have a voice of reason about it. When they were having this conversation, he actually said, no, you can't lump in a few whack jobs at the Capitol with 75 million people who voted for Donald Trump. You can't do that.
Yeah, and I wonder what he would say about that.
Well, it was amazing, right? Because every now and then, he is on point. And I hate saying that about Bill Maher because, you know, we obviously think completely differently, but he was on point about that. And so the problem is that there, and how many times have we said this, where we get pushback for even the slightest bit of criticism that we've ever had about Trump, we immediately get told, oh, well, you're, how can you say that? Or, you know,
you're a rhino.
You're not truly conservative if you don't somehow lick his boots or whatever. Like, I don't ever idolize a politician. Right. I like a lot of them, but there's a lot that I don't like. And even the ones I like have massive flaws. And
totally.
It's okay to say that. I worry about the people who are so like, oh, my God, Trump is the end all be all. Mm-hmm. You can't do that because those are the people then that the left can say, look at how brainwashed they are.
Right.
And they have a point.
Because to me, it's the same as idolizing Obama.
Exactly. It is the same.
I hated that too. I didn't like
that
either.
You can love what they stand for.
Yeah.
And Trump did a lot of amazing things, and I voted for him twice, and I have no regrets about it.
Right.
But for crying out loud, he's just a dude.
He's just a dude. Right.
Yeah.
I agree. No, I agree with you on that. And I'm curious, Bill Maher, because I've been wondering what he thinks about all this censorship stuff, because he's usually a pretty staunch supporter of the First Amendment. I mean, he has been in the past, at least. And so I'm curious what he thinks about conservatives being censored and squelched all over the place.
That's a good question. When I was listening to the radio about the Katie Couric and Bill Maher conversation, I know they said Katie Couric was a proponent of, you know, Trump getting taken down on the various platforms. I don't know what Bill Maher's response to that was. So I don't know. It would be interesting to hear what he says about it. Because there's certain things that he's like right on about. And maybe that's one of them. I have no idea because I don't watch his show.
I've been surprised over the past couple weeks by some of the people who are so supportive of the shutting down of free speech by so many Americans. I'm just like, wow. And you call yourself an American? Like what the hell?
Yeah.
It's like I'm not surprised by people like Selena Gomez.
Right.
You know,
oh my God.
Who writes
it? Like, they should do it more.
I can't believe they're not doing it more.
She's such an idiot.
I know. It's like these are the people who have platforms. And then kids are looking at her and they're thinking, oh, she's so smart because she sings things and she dated Justin Bieber. No, she's not. She's not smart. I mean, I'm pretty sure she didn't even finish high school. I don't think you should be listening to her.
But I mean, that is the more common outlook, right?
Right.
It's definitely
right.
The more common outlook is that yay for censorship of conservatives because it can't possibly ever come around to bite us.
No, and then in the same breath, in the same paragraph, they'll be like, I believe in America, you know, and I'm all about America and I'm all about democracy and I'm all about freedom, but really censor those people.
Right.
Censor them. Because I don't like what they have to say. Censor them. Oh, my God.
Or they'll see, the other thing, and it is kind of a form of censorship if you think about it, the way that they recategorize and gaslight everybody into thinking a certain narrative is true. Like, I heard from somebody who looked at Parler on Wikipedia. Wikipedia, and you know, you and I have had our tangle with Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah.
they don't believe we're noteworthy enough to even have a presence on Wikipedia.
Well, that you say they, but they're writers, just so you guys know the background on them. It's all a bunch of liberals. Surprise!
Yeah.
And so the writers there, they'll seek and destroy low-hanging fruit like us and just take you down. There's no, you have no recourse because it's all like volunteer editors on mm-hmm. Wikipedia. And so if they're the writers, most of them, I'd say 90% of them are liberals. The one that happened to take us down was a writer for the Daily Kos. Is it Daily Kos?
Yeah, I don't even know how you say it.
Whatever the hell that is. Yeah. And so that guy didn't like us. What was he, like a furry or something?
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Remember,
I think he might have been a furry.
Remember, he was a furry, that dude? Yeah, we did like some investigative work on to find out what kind of freak he was. And so some furry dude that happened to be a writer for Wikipedia, he was like, yeah, I don't like the chicks. They're conservative. I'm going to take them down. And so that's what he did. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, I don't like them. You're not noteworthy enough, newsworthy or whatever. You're not worthy of Wikipedia. So he took us down.
Yeah. So now they are describing like if you go to Wikipedia and look up Parler, apparently they are calling it an alt-right platform. And that it's so unfair for them to do that. So, but that's the narrative that they want to create, right? That this is a platform only for people who are so fringe that there's no room for any normalcy, even though millions of people flocked to Parler just so that they had an alternative to Twitter, who was blocking or shadow banning everybody that didn't go along with woke think.
I mean,
it's so stupid. It's so stupid.
And I hate that phrase too, alt-right.
I know.
I've always hated that. Like, who came up with that crap? The alt-right. Like, what? Okay.
I don't know where these things start.
I don't either. It's just, okay, whatever.
And Joe and Mika, by the way, like, went on a tear, I think yesterday, all the social media platforms and them collectively being responsible for all of the violence.
Oh.
And so,
not the media. It's social media.
Right. But it was interesting to see them go off on Facebook and Twitter. Like, you're complicit in this because you allowed these voices on your platforms for so long.
Oh, it was social. Not the media, though. It's social media. The media is like they're just like little lambs that haven't done anything. but social media is complicit. There are accomplices in all this. But the media is like, oh, look at us. We're like cherubs. We're cherubs. Mika and Joe.
Oh my God.
Were they like holding hands? Were they holding hands and pretending they were in different cities?
Exactly. Like a split screen?
It's like Mika was pretending she was in Washington. He was pretending he was in New York. And then they were like fondling each other's hands as they were doing that. Oh, I love you, Joe. I love you.
I don't want to think about that.
Yeah, they were totally doing that. Mm-mm, I cannot with those people. Speaking of people that hate us, we're going to be talking about this guy today. We'll mention him today in our podcast. But there's some guy, Mo Davis, I just have to mention him before we go. He was a failed Democrat congressional candidate. And he sent out a tweet he sent out a tweet and he said, I was chief prosecutor at Guantanamo for over 2 years, and there's far more evidence of Congressman Madison Cawthorn, that guy who's in a wheelchair. He's the guy in a wheelchair. He goes, there's far
hot.
More evidence
he's so
of,
hot.
Right, he's so hot. He's so hot. I'm sure you'll find some sort of a mixed word that you can find about him.
He's Haddison Cawthorn.
He's Haddison Cawthorn. He said, there's far more evidence of Congressman Madison Cawthorn's guilt than there was of guilt for 95% of the detainees at Guantanamo.
Guilt of what? What is guilty of?
I don't know. I don't know. He doesn't say. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. I mean, he was a colonel, so he doesn't have to say, right? He goes, it's time we start a domestic war on sedition by American terrorists. Okay. And then,
is this an election integrity thing? Because Madison Cawthorn spoke out about that, and so now he's a seditionist?
Yes, he's a seditionist. Okay. And then he said, screw they go low, we go high bullshit. This is what he wrote back in 2019. He goes, when extremists go low, we stomp their scrawny, pasty necks with our heels, and once you hear the sound of a crisp snap, you grind your heel hard and twist it slowly side to side for good measure. He needs to know who whooped his ass. And then he said something about how we all need to be he goes, this time we start a domestic war on sedition by American terrorists. He said that. But then he basically said that we all need to be like pushed into submission.
And that's not insightful.
But see, that's the thing. You never hear about people on the left saying that kind of. Can you imagine if that guy was a Republican?
Oh my God.
It'd be splashed all over the news. And he's ex-military. He's an ex-colonel. I mean, I guess once you're a colonel, you're always a colonel. I don't know how that works. But anyways, he's an ex-colonel.
Retired colonel.
Okay, he's a retired colonel.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking to myself, all right, if this guy was a Republican, like, we'd see that on the news right now. Talk about the irresponsible media, Mika and Joe. Like, that's the thing. They don't report about this stuff because, you know, he's a Democrat. So he's allowed to talk about how violent they should be with the right because, you know, we deserve it. Because right. We suck, right? All of the 75 million of us, we suck. We're terrible human beings. And so we deserve to be treated with violence, right? I mean, that's, we have it
coming.
And it's
fine. And it's excusable and justifiable and rationalized because of how evil we all are.
Right. We're evil. We're terrible people. Terrible. Right.
So it's subhumanizing a whole swath of people, once again, which is very reminiscent of every commie fascist government ever. And people are just like, this is fine. They're like the dog in the fire.
It's fine if it happens to people on the right. It's fine because those people are terrible. They're just, yeah, they are. I know, it's nuts what's happening in our country. Nuts.
Yeah. God. One more thing before we go, because I know you have to go.
Yeah, there was
there's like a big blue checkmark chick on Twitter, Angela Stanton King, who said the most idiotic stuff on Twitter, where she was saying that she's not against raising the minimum wage, but she wants everybody to understand that means that the prices of things are going to go up. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's, you actually get it. So the first half of her tweet was perfect. Then she said, ask Congress to put a cap on raising prices so the American people will benefit from the pay increases.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And I was like, how are people this dumb?
Oh my God. But see, listen, AOC has a degree in economics from Boston? Is it Boston College or Boston University? I can't remember
which one it was.
It's Boston something.
Yeah.
Right? It's one of those schools in Boston.
But a degree in econ.
Right. She has a degree in econ and she doesn't understand it. So it's not like any of these people that are getting degrees nowadays understand any of this crap. I mean, because they're teaching them, I think they're teaching them gender pronouns in economics classes, right?
They must be, because they got to get through the woke stuff before they actually get to any substance.
It's nuts. You guys, I'm sorry, I have to go. I have to take my daughter to school.
Yeah, we have to cut it a little short today.
I'm sorry. Tomorrow.
But we're doing our weekly dive, and that'll be released tomorrow.
Right. So make sure that you check that out. We'll be doing that today at lunchtime, and check that out. It'll be out tomorrow, and everything will be great. So
at the Chicks on the Right podcast featuring Mock and Daisy. I think that's what it's called now.
And if you haven't subscribed, make sure you subscribe and tell all your friends to subscribe, because we need people to subscribe, because any day now we could get shut down, all that kind of stuff. We just need people to go ahead and subscribe to that just in case they boot us.
On any podcasting platform that you use, we're there. You can find us.
Bring it in, everybody. Bring it in. I can hear my daughter coming downstairs telling me, like, she's about ready to tell me, we got to go, Mommy. You guys, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.
What is President Trump's reaction to big tech censorship, and what can he do about it? This is Sarah Carter. Rudy Giuliani joins me to explain why taking away free speech in America is really taking away America. Find the Sarah Carter Show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.